Welcome. And thank you, Melissa. Is it going? No. I'll be preaching today from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. We've already heard the story of the shepherds and the angels many times. In the past 3 years, my wife and I have been trying to start new Christmas traditions, but a part of that is navigating how we get each other presents. So I'll ask my wife, what do you want me to get for you? And she'll tell me, well, you could get me this, you could get me this other thing, you could get me that other thing. And oftentimes what ends up happening is I get her exactly what she's asking for, because that's the best thing that ends up being for both of us. And the same thing for me. I ask for something, so I end up knowing exactly what I'm getting on Christmas. And so that's a part of our new Christmas traditions. But the thing that is probably the most wonderful thing about being a new parent and being married is that I get to see my daughter open her presents for the first time, and she's never had presents before. And she'll tell me that. She'll say, Papa, I've never had this present before. And she just got one a couple weeks prior that was the exact same thing. But she has this wonder about receiving something for the first time. So we've all heard this story lots of times before, but I think there's something in this text that's for each of us right now. When God's promises are fulfilled, they rightly draw attention to him. When God's gifts are given, they rightly draw attention to him. The angels gave a gift of the gospel. They actually preached the gospel the first time to the shepherds. People before that hadn't really received the gospel. You might ask why. Well, Mary had received the gospel from the angel before. Joseph had. Why do the angels need to go and talk to the shepherds? It's because God gives us gifts in abundance. The shepherds were floored when they received the gospel. They were literally knocked over. So God, when God speaks to us, he not only, sometimes he knocks us down, but he also equips us. God's gospel, the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, and it inspires worship. The first time I received the gift that God had given to me that floored me, he had to use his power. He started to just speak through other people towards me that I would be able to be encouraged, to be able to stand back up. And it's the same thing that he's doing with the angels here. So the first way that the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, inspiring worship, is he fills the poor in spirit. We talked with the narrative lectionary, we talked about Micah, the prophet, the minor prophet of Moresheth, and his hometown when he was preaching in the south near Jerusalem, about 6 miles away from or 10 miles away from Jerusalem, was destroyed by the invading Assyrians. As we can look at it, University of Chicago, they have a cylinder that accounts for that emperor declaring that he had decimated all the countryside around Jerusalem. But then it's Micah, interestingly enough, that says that Bethlehem is the one that's going to receive the king whose origin is from old, who we know is Jesus. But it wasn't the people in Jerusalem who were going to receive the Savior. It wasn't the people who were safe in that time from the Assyrians who were going to receive the Savior. God was coming up under the poor in spirit, the people who had been decimated by the Assyrian war against Israel and against Judah, that would receive this Savior. He would remember the poor in spirit. It had been about 6 years since my brother in Christ that I met at North Park and who had encouraged me very much passed away while I was in China. I hadn't been able to go to the funeral because I was still in China, and though I had expressed condolences to his mother and to his sister and to his brother, I didn't really feel like God had comforted his family. His mother was still mourning, I could tell. I had talked to her 3 years after the death of her son, and she was still mourning that event. But it was last year, it was 6 years after the birth, that I was at seminary, I was at a lunch, and miraculously, God somehow made this connection with this person that said that they had been convicted by God that they needed to sit by his mother every single Sunday in worship and to grieve with her, to experience worship as a grieving mother. I don't know if some of us have things that we're grieving about still from, I don't know, 6 years, 10 years back. But God has a desire to meet the poor in spirit and to meet us in that place. And that's what he's doing with the shepherds. He's coming, and he's coming up under these people who for hundreds of years have been waiting for the Messiah. And he's coming, and it's this day that Jesus is born. The shepherds that are in the fields are receiving this word. Where are you hurting from loss of life? God still cares about it, even if you're hurting. We see his humility towards those who are next to his birth. The first way the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, inspiring worship, is he fills the poor in spirit. The second way the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, inspiring worship, is by answering our prayers with a call. Peter says that the prophets and the angels longed to look into these things, into Jesus being born, into the revelation of Jesus being born. Angels are messengers. They're portrayed as bright in a lot of paintings and things. We can see they have gold on their sashes on some of the windows that we have here, because they're always in the presence of God. But angels actually first show up in the text at the Garden of Eden when we had left the Garden of Eden in Adam and Eve. And they were protecting us from an eternity in sin. Because if we had taken the fruit of the tree of life after the fall without Jesus, we would have remained in this place forever. In this place that we feel, this pain, this tension that we feel in our broken and our fallen world. But the angels protected. So they're really excited. Because they are receiving, they didn't really get it before, but they are receiving and are sharing this message that Jesus is here and that he is able to keep us from the punishment that we deserve. He redeems us from that punishment that we deserve. He is fulfilling promises made to David. He's fulfilling promises made to Abraham. He's fulfilling promises made to Moses. He is the fulfillment. It says in some of Paul's letters, it says that Christ fills all in all. He's coming in to fill in our broken places, and he starts with the place that has been hurt the most. And they can't help but worship. The angels don't even tell the shepherds to go to see Mary and Joseph. They just say, this thing is happening. Jesus is being born in the city of David. But the shepherds respond. They've been praying. Their people have been praying throughout the ages. They've been asking for this king, for this prophet, for this priest that would intercede on their behalf, and they're finally receiving this answer to prayer. They're finally receiving this answer to God, what is going on? That Habakkuk cries out, where he's sitting and he's watching, well, God, what are you going to do? The Assyrians came in, and God says, the Babylonians are going to be even worse. He said, what are you going to do? And this is there, it says in the text, I don't think it's insignificant that it says that the shepherds are watching their sheep. A lot of times in Scripture where it says watch, 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 it's talking about watching and seeing what the Lord is going to do. And they can't help but talk about it with themselves, and then they go. They go and see, and they worship the king. I once saw my cousin, and you guys can take this story or leave it if you want, but when you have something happen to you that makes you sound crazy, you used to maybe not sound so crazy. But if you've heard the gospel, maybe many of us have shared the gospel and kind of people have thought we sounded a little strange. My cousin, when I was at college, I was praying about, I said, God, I need a brother. I have two older brothers, but I need a brother who can go with me in this faith journey and be encouraged by this person. And I prayed really, really hard that one night that I felt like I had failed in that type of ministry that I was doing while I was at North Park. And the next day, I hear this phone call, and my cousin shows up at my doorstep. I had thought he had looked like he was trying to be tough all the time when I was at the cafeteria. He looked like he was being like gangster rap, you know. He's a white kid like me, but he was like looking really tough. And I didn't know he was actually in the midst of drugs and alcohol, and he had just gotten caught the week before by the RA, who's a man of God that I know and love still. And that it was the night that I was praying, the glory of God came down upon him in the Jewel parking lot, no less. So don't think that we're away from God's presence or something like that. Jewel, Pulaski and Foster, you guys know the place? He was in the Jewel parking lot. His buddies who had just gotten high with him were like, we're going to go get some munchies. So they went in, got some munchies. I got to stay in the car. And he had felt this weight upon his shoulders. And he said, his father's a covenant. I don't want to give away too much, but his father's a pastor who had been praying for him. His mother is a faithful person in Christ who prays for him every single day. And he said, is this God? And God spoke to him. And if you want to think I'm crazy, you can. I believe him. I believe exactly what he told me. He said that God spoke to him audibly, not to other people, but to him audibly for the following, I think it was about 6 months. But he was telling him, and the fruit is where I'm testing it, right? God told him he needed to call his dad and tell him what had been going on and repent. And God told him to read the book of Philippians. And he said that the words were popping off the page. He said he wasn't high anymore. But he said it was different. But God had started to do this. And then he told him to come talk to me. And I was like, don't let me cry here, but like, that was one of the most humbling things that I'd ever experienced. I was weak, and I was doubting God that he could do what he said. But he came, and he did it. He spoke to me through my cousin, somebody I already knew. So let's not limit God here. Let's not doubt that the shepherds would think, you know, what should we do here? Because that's what I said to my cousin. We're like, we don't know what to do. What should we? Let's look at the scripture that God told you to look at. Let's go do outreach to homeless that night. We did that at Lower Wacker Drive, which is something North Park does every Friday, or did when I was there. when we are overwhelmed with our inability to be a blessing to all nations, all ethnos, all people, all ways of thinking, through Jesus Christ, we must ask him for brothers and sisters. So our prayers are answered with a call to all nations, all ethnos. The second way the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, inspiring worship, is by answering our prayers with a call. The third way the power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people, inspiring worship, is through the pondering and treasuring of our testimonies. The shepherds shout, the angels sing, the wise men worship the king, which is a song that my daughter's been singing and we've been singing too and dancing, and the shepherds shout, the angels sing like a heavenly song, right? And the wise men worship the king. We love doing all the motions together. As we hold baby showers and celebrate our children, we join with the angels. But it is Mary treasuring what God had said about her son to other people, not just receiving physical gifts, which we have received many physical gifts from this congregation, but and it has been a huge blessing. You'll see in a story in just a moment. But it's not that she treasures. She treasures what God has said to her, but also to other people about her children. The word of God, what is it saying about our children? What is it saying about us that we can agree with and respond to that call, respond to our prayers and say, yes, this is what we need to agree with. I've had moments of trembling because I know that God can as easily speak rebuke to me through my children as he can comfort. Last spring, Emily had completed her student teaching but had 2 weeks of observing left that North Park required her, CPS didn't require it, for her to graduate. But Emily had entered her preterm labor, and about a week into it, we were at home waiting on the education department to approve her graduation. And I'm not trying to knock North Park. I think North Park does a great job of really thoroughly equipping its students to teach, to do whatever thing they're equipping people to do. But in this circumstance, this was the case that we had 2 weeks left of observing, or she couldn't graduate. And we were waiting on the education department to approve her graduation. I was working on my finals in the front room, and they were in the dining room, in the a room away. And Anna Raquel, and we had just received a bunch of presents that the McCullough daughters had asked their parents if they could give away, or they had talked about it or something. So they gave us a bunch of these toys, and my daughter's in there, and she says, not talking to my wife, she imitates at the table when we would pray. We never taught her to fold her hands when she prays. Maybe we should have. But she does this, and she closes her eyes, and she says, God, give me more toys, please. And my wife, with a smile on her face, says, Ben, she's asking for more toys. And so I went in there, and I said, oh, okay, honey, you want some more toys. And I said, what else do you want to pray for? Now, she knew her mother was sick with, not sick, she was pregnant and was experiencing a lot of pain, the labor pains. She actually experienced for 5 weeks before John was born. And Anna Raquel prayed, God, help mommy feel better. And as soon as she finished, when she said amen, the phone rang. Talk about answering a prayer with a call, right? We got on the phone, and it was one of the people from the education department that said, yes, you can graduate. Everybody's approved it unanimously. I can't take credit for God's work in my daughter's life. God's doing that. but I felt the grace of God in the testimony that he had given to me about my daughter that I had received when God showed up at our door. That's not literal, that's metaphorical, right? That happened in the story. When we receive any testimony from people we mentor, maybe you're a mentor of some people, or from people who are our elders, we ought to treasure it. Any word from Scripture that we know is true. I remember when Tim Anderson came back from Covenant High in Christ, one of sons of this church who had a dramatic conversion. He confessed in front of the whole church that he had been not telling the truth to the church and that he had been posing as a Christian but had actually been in the midst of drugs and alcohol. He's going to Northside College Prep. Everybody thought, oh, well, he's this stellar person, and then he gets up and he confesses and he repents and he says he is sorry because he saw the worship at Chick and he felt he was missing out on something that he didn't understand. He thought it was fake, and then he realized that God was real. But when he came back, he kept treasuring these things. I saw him with his notebook. He would sit in the pews, and this is maybe the only time I was seeing him. I wasn't going and watching him do this other places, but he would sit and he would write down his questions. He would write down the answers. He would write down other questions that came up when the sermon was being preached. Or when he was just singing a song, he would be, oh, that's a really good line. And he would write down those things and he would treasure them in his heart. And it wasn't the dramatic conversion that affected me so much as every week seeing him. Before, he would be making jokes or doing something in the pew, and I saw him after that until he graduated with him treasuring it. Treasure these things in your heart. Treasure Jesus' birth in your heart. Treasure where he's been born in your life, in your heart. Remember the things that God has done in your past. I almost have too many things where times where God has met me in my need to be standing up. I should be on my face. When we speak them, we feel the weight of glory again in our lives, what God has done, and we are floored. And I mean that in the double sense, like we're happy about, oh, we're floored, like this happened. But then we feel the weight of glory that my cousin felt. And we are on the ground, and we are worshiping God. We are called into this worship. I'd encourage you this week to look at your storehouse of witness, the stuff that has happened. Maybe you just became a Christian. Maybe it's something that you haven't quite done yet. Maybe it's a relationship you haven't started. Maybe you have been a Christian for very many years and you've been walking with him for a long time. Maybe you're feeling dry. Maybe there's some place where you have walked away. There are many places that God can meet us. I'd encourage you to look back to the last time that you felt God speak or do something in your life, even if it was just a long time ago when Jesus met you the very first time. And that's the only thing you can grab onto. I'm sure the shepherds held on to this for a very long time. The third way, the power of God's gospel, equips and comforts his people. Inspiring worship is through the pondering and treasuring of our testimonies. The power of God's gospel equips and comforts his people. Inspiring worship for the poor in spirit, answering our prayers with a call, and through our pondering and treasuring our testimonies to enter his story, Christ the King who is drawing us to himself. Are you in need? You should pray. Have you been answered with a call? You should press into it. We're looking at our storehouses here. If you're in need, you should pray. If you've been answered with your prayers with a call, you should answer it. If you are at the end of your rope and you can't really see what's going on, if you feel like you're in the midst of a storm with everything happening in our society, everything happening maybe in your family, maybe in your extended family, you went to Christmas and things weren't what you expected. look at your storehouse. Look at the things that God has done in the past, and then I bet you, to share one last thing. When I shared vulnerably with my fellow staff at Covenant Point Bible Camp when I was in high school, it turned out that actually everybody in the staff was experiencing the same issue, the same need. And it turned out that it wasn't just me that it was experiencing it. My testimonies were there also for other people. They were there for the people that were around me. Look into your storehouse, and if God calls you, you can ponder, you can keep it. But why do we even hear about this story if Mary is just keeping it? It's because Luke asked her. Luke asked her about the story, and she told him. And I think many of us are in this place where we're pondering, we have these things in our hearts stored up, but we aren't asking each other about the testimonies. Maybe we have been. Maybe we're in great community and fellowship, but we need, there are more. If we're feeling any lack, there is an abundance of a storehouse in the church, in the community that we are in. And if you feel those needs, if you feel any of those pulls, may he increase our faith by his coming to us. You ask, where is Jesus? He's sitting right next to you. Amen.